Good morning. It is December 15th. Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond, your host and history curator for the next hour. And James, how are you this morning?
Oh, I definitely can't complain. I woke up today. That's always a plus.
Once you wake up and if your card scans into the office, the day is going just fine.
I'm going to definitely agree with that. I got in. I'm here.
I made it through the
rain and all that.
Yeah, well, what was that? It was mostly slush, right?
Yeah, I'm just not looking forward to when it starts freezing.
No. Well, let's hope that we all make it out of here safe next. It's Christmas time coming up. It's holiday season, and I know I've been receiving lots of holiday cards. Have you received your cards there, James?
I managed to get a couple of them. Actually, there's one person I went to grade school with, and she finds me every year. She's that one person that no matter where you move, she gets you a Christmas card.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have about a dozen, and I have not been good at writing cards the last few years, and I have no excuse. I do want to create an internet application that can just hit a button and personal messages to all my friends and former colleagues and family members will get a card from me.
Well, your computer's watching you all year round, so it knows best.
Google knows me best. But what makes me think when I see these cards, and they're people that I've not seen or heard from in, some of them, 20 years. And you remember the last time you talked to them or when you knew them very well and you saw them every day. And you remember their voice. You remember, what they look like. And in my mind, that's really what they are. You know, we talked last week about people comfortable in a certain era. And, you know, maybe they themselves are in that era. But when we look back at our friends or look back at people that are sending us these cards, I think of that voice, and I may not have seen this person in a long time, but that voice resonates with me. There's some voices that I want to share today, and they're voices that I think that everyone's going to recognize. I want to play a little bit from ABC Network, and this was a voice that I think that everyone in this audience is going to remember. Between programs, like between The Love Boat and between Mork and Mindy or 2020, whatever it is you were watching that night, we had to be guided to what was going to come on next. There was no on-screen guide. Might have been lucky enough to have a TV guide, which was what the wealthier of us had versus the newspaper. But we had to have someone guide us through the night's programming. So let's just listen to a little bit from 1981 and what that might have sounded like.
Thursday, Mork's homesick for Orr.
That was wildly creative, Mindy, but that hardly lightens a load.
Mork and Mindy. And Tillman's a jailbird who'll try anything to escape.
Try anything, Marshal, I wouldn't think of it.
Best of the West. Then Louis brings his business talents to Wall Street.
You need to get dirty.
It's a special one-hour taxi. Then, find out about America's fascination with chocolates. And hear the world's most famous choir on 2020.
Thursday on ABC.
That's Ernie Anderson from ABC. He was at ABC for probably 40 years. He did the voiceovers on America's Funniest Home Videos, where a lot of people will remember that voice also from. And I'm impressed with the fact that when he talks, he can go from a wacky Mork and Mindy voice to a serious voice when he's talking about 2020. It can go that inflection's variable. Another voice, which I think that a lot of us are going to remember, was his NBC counterpart. And this is Danny Dark. He was on NBC for 50 years. And besides an NBC voiceover, he also did a lot of cartoon voiceovers, such as TV's Superman on the long-running Super Friends show. Let's just take a little look at this, or actually let's listen to this and see if we recall.
Friday is summer loving, summer funnin', and summer action in the movie that's so hot you can get a tan just by watching it. It's Summer Fantasy Friday. Join Bob Hope, Brooke Shields, Mr. T, Johnny Cash, June Carter, David Letterman, John Ritter, and the boxing showdown of the century at the New Orleans World's Fair, Monday.
It takes good people to save lives, dedicated people willing to sacrifice a lot. The people of St. Elsewhere, let them share their lives with you tonight.
Thursday, Nell's bound for love when Girls' Night Out leads to a wild romance on Give Me a Break. Then Alex goes to jail for equal rights.
I damn a woman.
But will hard times in the slammer turn into good times for Alex on Family Ties?
Thursday, don't miss it. It'll be a crime.
Thursday on Cheers.
Diane's friend wants me.
When Diane's best friend gets the hots for Sam, could she keep her cool? around the Duck Factory.
Scandal brewing at local animation company.
It's an affair for an unlikely pair.
What?
Then Howard's exposed in a police corruption sting. Will it lead to tragedy?
Be there.
So again, that voice goes from whisper when you're talking about Saint Elsewhere. It's a whisper, you want to be very calm. To a more upbeat, joyful voice talking about Alex P. Keaton in prison.
I'm genuinely impressed at stuff like this because I think most people, pretty much most people that are in radio, really want to do voiceovers, want to do stuff like this. I'm jealous. I hope I can be that way one day.
Well, you're a part of every program. You're not necessarily on the air, but you become a part of every program, and you become part of the station identity. And if I were to hear those voices, and maybe because I'm a little bit more emotionally invested in TV or radio than others, but when I hear these voices, I can say, nope, that was Ernie Anderson from ABC. Well, I don't necessarily, most people may not know the actual name, but you do know that is the ABC voice, that's a CBS voice, that's an NBC voice. At least at one point we could do that. I want to play one more clip from Ernie Anderson, only because I love the way he was able to roll some of these show titles off his tongue.
Saturday, the love boat just might sink.
That's entertainment.
It's a Titanic two-hour spectacular when Barbie Benton, David Birney, the Ropers Audra Lindley, Lola Falana, Dick Martin, and Donna Mills sail unawares into the funniest ocean disaster ever.
Hello. I thought we might have a little chat.
Goodbye. Is that little enough for you?
Is this the big kiss-off for the love boat?
Is this the big kiss-off for the love boat? I think not. If you have the Ropers and you have Barbie Benton, I think that's a recipe for success.
That was great. Love boat.
In fact, he was on Letterman a long time ago. Unfortunately, he passed away about 13 years ago, but that was one of his favorite voiceovers to do was the love boat. And I can't do the L the way Ernie can, so I'm not going to even try to do it.
Oh, that takes a lot of practice.
But we do have a man coming up in our next segment here who might be able to do that love boat if we twist his arm enough. Ernie Anderson, longtime Twin Cities broadcaster and also the voice of KMSP Channel 9 for almost 20 years, and a lot of people my age remember him of doing some great commercials and great bumps. So let's take a break, and we will come back with Ernie Anderson on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220.
Their emotions. I'm happy when I know a man who lets himself feel the things we do. Life with such a man can be so spontaneous, so much fun. Emotion for me is like Chanel No. 5 perfume, eau de cologne and spray cologne. Chanel, it's one of the pleasures of being a woman.
Available in the cosmetic department of all Dayton stores. KMSP-TV, Minneapolis and St. Paul.
And don't go to Dayton's cosmetic counter today because you might be looking at a parking lot. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond on KLEB, Club 1220, number 651-275-1220. I'm joined not by Ernie Anderson, which I think I might have mentioned. I'm actually joined by Ernie Martz.
Yeah.
Ernie Anderson's at ABC, and we were lucky enough to have Ernie Martz here at KMSP Channel 9 for how long, Ernie?
I was there 15 years, and yes, it was the longest. That was the longest time I ever worked at one station. I was kind of in and out of the broadcasting business. I always wanted to do something else, and I did. But I was at the KMSP for 15 years.
Well, and forgive me, I do refer to you as the voice of Channel 9. For people my age, or I think Generation X, and people above and below, you were the voice of the identity for whatever program was on next, and for doing that KMSP TV ID every hour.
Yeah, and we'll return to Scooby-Doo after these messages.
You told me a great story about the golf course one time. You were golfing with some kids that were causing.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me that story.
Well, I was at Meadowbrook. I golf is a game I like, and I was at Meadowbrook practicing one time, and some young guys came by, and they were going to go fishing or something. And I waved them, and I said, "Hey, better get out of the way," because I occasionally hit a ball in the wrong direction. And the kids came over, and they looked at me and said, "Say that again." So I did. I repeated. Oh, wow. Channel 9. So that's when my first indication that in spite of all the other things I've done in this business, those voiceovers, which I didn't think it would ever mean anything.
Right.
right. have become an identifying thing for me. Yeah.
I really enjoy it, and when I post them on tcmedianow.com, I get a lot of comments, and sometimes I get, or my audience gets Altai and you confused sometimes, so we have to make sure we identify this as an Altai voiceover or Ernie Martz voiceover.
Well, Al was, he's gone now, and it was a great broadcaster, whether television and, I mean, sports and as a booth announcer, he was very good, a great guy. And we did well. We just kind of used the same copy. You know, a lot of these promos you played by these great voices. I wish I had their money. You know, that Ernie Anderson and that guys. They you got to give credit to the engineers too in that production.
Mm-hmm, right.
Believe
me,
it makes a big difference.
Engineers are very very underlooked when the broadcast awards go out, and it takes a good producers and good engineers.
When sound quality, microphones that are good quality microphones, good, it makes a big difference. That's right, James.
It makes a huge difference between sounding like you're talking into a tin can you have that real deep resonance.
Well, the great announcers I remember were guys like Jack Costello, you know, and now let's go inside Bob and Ray. You know, and then there was George Fenneman, you know, with Groucho Marx, and those guys are great. And locally, Frank Butler and Bill Wigington, and of course the great Frank Butler. Yeah, Butler, and then also Gordon Eaton, who was one of the great local announcers here in the Twin Cities. He was an excellent broadcaster, Gordon Eaton.
Well, then of course Jimmy Valentine, Bud Kraling. Did a lot of voiceover.
And Brooks Henderson. Brooks Henderson at KSTP was there for years, and he was just a great voice and a great guy. And he had almost a BBC style, and he was good.
Well, Ernie, every broadcaster has a journey, and most broadcasters don't walk into the 14th biggest market from Brown College or from the university, wherever they were. Tell me a little bit about your journey to Channel 9.
Okay. At KLIZ in Brainerd at the age of 14, and doing the high school news. And Carol Upsall, my colleague there, she said, Ernie, why don't you go into radio? So I did. And then I went to St. Cloud Teachers College to play some ball there, and I ended up working in radio there, and then transferred to the university to WMIN, which was the St. Paul radio station in 1954, with Steve Cannon and Merle Edwards and Frank Seifert and myself and Stuart A. Lindman. And then from there, I got hired at WCCO Radio. I was just 21 years old. They called me up, and I went over to do vacations. Rolf Hertzgard went on vacation, and then he left the station, went into the ministry. And I was at CCO, at the golden age of radio. It was a great experience.
And CCO was the gold standard in radio nationally. It was a local station, but this was probably the most listened to station in the country, and prestigious with awards. Let's listen to a little of your audio at WCCO Radio.
You got that? Oh.
Yes, 5 minutes past 12, and hi, everybody. This is Ernie Martz, your musical host with Music on Record till 1 this morning, a time when we kind of hit the breeze with ease and put that accent on music. The King Nat Cole stepping out of the vocal spotlight for just a moment and back to the keyboard, the fashioned Just One of Those Things, the Nelson Riddle Orchestra backing him very nicely. Very definitely putting the accent on music as our Music on Record goes till 1 o'clock this morning. Maybe some of you heard Gordon Eaton's fine salute to Perry Como earlier yesterday, or we might say today. Gordy saluted Perry's birthday. I don't know how old he is, but he's been singing some real nice tunes. Perry Como, the guy who gave up the tonsorial art for the tonsil art. The old master barber sings now.
Okay.
A young guy working at CCO AM.
Oh, it was a great thrill, and I wanted to stay longer, but I got drafted.
Oh, that'll put a damper in that.
Yeah, and anyway, I moved on and went into the Navy, Naval Aviation Officer Kennedy program in Pensacola.
Came back,
fortunately, And I came out to, actually, I wanted to go to work for the United States Information Agency, and I had a great interview or recommendation from Dr. E.W. Zeebarth at the university, and which meant a lot. And I got to Washington and got an interview, but I wasn't selected because Edward R. Murrow was just coming in to be the new chairman. And they thought with my commercial background, I should wait until he came in. But it was several months afterwards, and I went to work at WLOL.
And how? What did you do at LOL?
I had a drive time show there from 3 to 7 with Charmin Carmen Sylvester, the AirWatch traffic reporter. And I was there with some great guys. One of them, one of my favorite all-time performers on radio, Brother Bill Bennett. You know, hi, Mom, got your radio on? How's it fit?
Right, right.
You know, and, Bennett was really something. And he went to San Diego and did Chester the Jester, and I hope he's still around. But Brother Bill came in with the Todd Storrs outfit at WDGY in 1956 to challenge WCCO radio, and they did big time. And that was a real worry for at the Great 830 at that time, because they brought in some great talent. Loch Nane and Herb Oscar Anderson came in, and they later hired Bill Deal, came over, and I think Don Kelly. But anyway, they came in, and they really promoted and gave away money. And you know what happened to WCCO? They went out and hired Bob Montgomery to be Big Bill Cash. And
that's right.
And CCO started giving away money. Can you believe that? And they did. The cash register would ring every once in a while during the day, and Bob Montgomery would come on and Big Bill Cash.
But the secret is CCO was billing a lot more money than they were giving out, though. That was the business secret to that.
Oh, they know how to do it. Yeah, they do.
You took a detour from broadcasting for a while and worked in your own PR firm, correct?
That's right. I was in public relations with Jim Adams in St. Paul. Great guy. Great agency, J.H. Adams. We did the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, Ramsey County Bar Association. I did the Winter Carnival as a publicity director for a period of time. And then I also had my own agency, and I started Donnybrook up at Brainerd. I was one of two or three guys involved in it, and I was in auto racing for quite a while. I combined my work in PR and with my work in broadcasting quite successfully for a period of time. And I could do that at Channel 9. There weren't any real restrictions there for me. I could go out and make a little extra money on the side as long as it didn't conflict with the station. Don Schwartz was very good about that. I liked him. I thought he was...
Don Schwartz was the general manager of Channel 9 for 40 years?
A long time.
And he's still with us. Just to give some context to who we're talking about. So you worked at KSTP for a couple of years, right, at KSTP AM sports announcer and a Vikings.
Well, I did. I was a disc jockey at night, but then I also produced the Gopher football with Dick Enroth and Murray Warmath, the network. We had 65 stations, I think. And then also Viking football, I did that. I replaced Rod Trongart there for a while. And then I kind of got a few promises from them to do some other things that never happened. So I I got a job over at Channel 9 as a weather guy. Now, what are you getting a weather guy out on a day like this? It's raining out here, and I only come out in good weather, you know.
I was waiting for you to predict some better weather.
Very particular weather man. I like that.
I'm guessing your weather predictions were always 100% accurate anyway.
Listen, I tell you what, the thing people do remember sometimes about what I did, because I did it a little differently. I believed in mind over matter, and I used to make a point of this. Look, you can do something about the weather. You can change how you look at it and what you think about it.
Let's listen to you doing the weather. Let's take a listen.
Hey, you got one. Oh.
Well, Ernie, for the last day or so, has been keeping his eye on what is probably the first winter storm of the year for us, or could be for us.
Well, I tell you, and it is a pretty good-sized storm. It looks like it'll probably move right into Minnesota by this time tomorrow. And looks like we'll probably get some showers and thunderstorms, maybe some pretty substantial amounts of rain. 47 and 68% humidity now, east wind at 13, and the barometer steady at 30.02. Today's high was 55 at 2 o'clock, low temperature 40 degrees at 3:20 a.m. Record high, there you have 85, 1968. How about that? Record low 26 in 1974. There's tomorrow's sunrise and the sunset. The low pressure center in Colorado continues to deepen today, spreading clouds north and eastward over the region. Thunderstorms have developed in Nebraska and South Dakota. are expected to move into Minnesota and Iowa tonight and then into Wisconsin by Thursday. The warming to the east of us and the colder air to the west combined with some Gulf air...
1979, Ernie Martz, weatherman at Channel 9.
I was there. I used to rate the weather in a scale of 0 to 10. And that was very popular. In fact, it got to the point where people would call in and say, forget the forecast, just give me the number. And tomorrow's an 8, you know, it's a 4 in the morning, it's a 6 in the afternoon, and average it out to a 5. I also was very serious about severe weather,
very serious about that.
But my general approach to weather was rather lighthearted because I grew up in Duluth in the 40s and in northern Minnesota, and I know what winter is. And I know when we've got it and when we haven't got it.
The question is, do you know what summer is living in Duluth?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Yeah, but it wasn't much of it. It was pretty short. It's true.
So you came to Channel, and let's this is flashback, Twin Cities, with my guest Ernie Martz of Channel 9 and many other stations. 1973, you come to Channel 9 to do weather with what was a revamped, it's a common story today where ratings aren't good. The whole existing news team is fired, and we're going to redo the whole team. We're going to do a national search for the right sports guy, the right news guy, the right weather guy, the right set, the right music. And you were part of another revamped operation at Channel 9.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And I came in as the weatherman. Now, I was not a meteorologist.
Right.
And they didn't. It wasn't required in those days, but there was a lot of pressure on me and on stations to get a seal of approval. But I didn't like people grading me all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they have. People out in the audience, well, you didn't do that right or you didn't do that right. I didn't particularly like that. I had a lot of weather training in the Navy. I was responsible for 23 souls on 145 missions out of Midway Island in the Pacific as a navigator. And I know what the weather is, and I know what that jet stream is, although we didn't call it that at the time. However, I might say, we were some of the first people, the navigators, Navy navigators, who I think are the best, especially extended over water, DR, celestial. We were the first ones to notice that there was a sudden air temperature drop at certain times when we were going to get hit by that jet stream. And that's one of the ways we could determine it. And it takes a lot of guts to make a 40-degree heading alteration at that point, I'll tell you, when gas is low. But we did it.
I mean, I spoke to a colleague of yours, Bud Kraling, a while back, and I asked him, I said, in doing weather 50 years, do you learn some things on the way that you didn't learn in a meteorology school or you didn't learn in science school? And he said, yes, you understand how to communicate weather to the audience. You understand what's important. You understand how to take 2 minutes and sometimes 5 minutes, depending on your news, how to be able to communicate what's important, this weather forecast.
Well, it goes back to being a broadcaster, engaging your brain before you put your mouth in gear. There's not enough of that in broadcasting any time now, but true professional broadcasters do that. One of the guys that could do that well was Kraling, also Ray Christensen. He was bright, and he thought about what he was going to say before he said it. You just don't run off at the mouth, and you prepare well. And also, you have a sense of humor, and life goes on, and the weather changes, doesn't it? Huh?
Exactly. And in Minnesota, you got to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
That 6 months of snow and construction season, the other 6 months, you got to have a sense of humor.
Well, a few months of tough sledding, you know, that's the way it goes.
So you did weather off and on for about 15 years.
I think
about three times you were when you'd bring someone new in and they'd be gone, you'd be back.
Well, they tried to bring in some Letterman having came up here for an interview.
Right,
I guess.
Right.
I didn't know he was here, and it wouldn't make any difference to me, but it was...
The rumor is Letterman saw the snow banks and the snow and the fence down, and he said, this is not worth the money to come up here and for not much money. I think it might have been Don Schwartz who might have told him, you're never going to do weather again if you with that attitude, and he went to L.A. and see how that turned out for him.
Well, you know, I was glad to be in the 14th largest market. I was working at a station that the checks didn't bounce. And all they wanted me to do was to work hard and show up on time and do the best you can. And I appreciated that, and I got that from that station, even though they took a bad rap at times from people. But people have to remember, that that was the most successful independent broadcasting television station in the country.
Well, the best thing that ever happened at Channel 9
and I was a part of that.
might have been the ABC. Well, and again, there's a lot of people don't remember. ABC was Channel 9 for a generation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And because of never being able to find the right news product compared to Channel 5 and Channel 4, yeah. ABC went to Channel 5, and there was a whole network switch. When Channel 9 became independent, it was the best thing that ever happened to them. They had absolutely zero control from a network and how to program the station.
Yeah.
There was much more local programming that could have been done, and there was some. Day at the Fair, which you hosted for many years, was
yes.
one of them.
Yeah.
An hour of news at night. And it and Don Schwartz, who we talked about before, was a very successful manager.
Yes,
he made a lot of money for that company.
Yes, he did. Yeah. 20th Century Fox was very happy to see him. Yeah, it was. It went fine, and I was. You know, I came from an era where you were glad to have a job if you got into something you liked to do, and we did it without any self promotion necessarily, and we didn't have any guile about what we were doing. We weren't doing things in order to get another effect. Our values were pretty straightforward. We were there to entertain, to inform, and we weren't there to change anybody's mind about anything. And we were happy to be a part of anybody's listening pattern in radio or television. That's the way it was.
As the 80s rolled on, I remember you from these great voiceovers for same thing we were discussing earlier. What was coming on next? Cartoons. And I want to just play a couple clips of that. And this is when I hear you on the phone when I talked to you before the show started, I'm expecting you to say Scooby-Doo is coming up next.
That would be great.
Weekday afternoons at 2:30. Don't miss Different Strokes, Monday through Saturday evenings at 6.
Say, baby. Say hello to Mr. J.
We miss Harlem.
Yeah, and I want to miss Harlem the rest of my natural life.
And there's only one thing to do.
What's that? Grab a glass of milk and hit them cookies till the booze go away.
Different Strokes, Monday through Saturday evenings at 6 on Receptive Channel 9. We now return to the Casper Cartoon Festival.
Yes.
Were those live? Did you do those live?
We will return to the Casper Cartoon Festival after these messages.
You know, at times we did.
I don't know how.
And, but most of them were recorded, and they were fun to do. I used to have a lot of fun with the Rockford Files too. You know, we carried that series for forever, and there were great shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they really aren't on anymore.
I think you have to go to Channel 99. I think to find them. Yeah, they're out there. It's just not as easy to find as they were when we had five channels.
Yeah, yeah. The Rockford Files are next, and now here's Jimmy.
Heart to Heart is next, and then the Twilight Zone, right here on Channel 9.
This makes it feel good that you're watching Love Boat, you're going to watch Heart to Heart, and then Twilight Zone about noon. That's a little different time for me to watch Twilight Zone.
Yeah, well, the Love Boat. It was a great time for announcers, you know. At one time, announcers were key actors in this whole business, and now they're kind of relegated to the sidelines.
Or there's a national announcer doing 20 different stations probably in an afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. It's changed a lot, and I know that you're a producer and a media historian, and I really appreciate all that you're doing in the Twin City market in particular. And you've taken a few of my things out of the archives, you know. And my wife said to me, Mary, who is incidentally a opera singer and actress and a professor, said to me, well, you ought to be pretty happy that somebody would take you out of the archives. And I said, I am. I'll tell you that, Tom Osmond. He knows talent when he sees it, I'll tell you.
Well, Ernie, I have an eye for talent. No, when I post things onto tcmedianow.com, I get a lot of comments and hits about, Who did that voiceover? I know that voice, and luckily a few of us in the internet sphere know these names behind the voices, and then we're able to educate people on who was, no, this was Al, this was Ernie.
Yeah.
Marts, Ernie Anderson, even though I need that, you know, to be clarified sometimes, apparently, this morning. Let's listen to you announcing another program that I think that nightly people would remember.
Join us for a full hour of local, national, and world news on Primetime News next on Channel 9. KMSP-TV, Minneapolis, St. Paul. From Independent News in New York and the Channel 9 news team in the Twin Cities, this is Primetime News.
Good evening, I'm Rod Grams in the Twin Cities. From the Channel 9 newsroom tonight, a meeting in St. Paul regarding charges of police brutality. We'll have a live report.
You know, there's something I'd like to mention that I'm the most proud of is the work I've done for the Braille and Deaf Academy in Faribault, where I've recorded some talking books for the blind.
Oh, yes.
Digital books for the blind. And I was just down there yesterday for their Christmas party. They do marvelous work there. And they have seven of my books out in circulation in several libraries, National Library Service libraries throughout the country. And they're William Durbin books, some of them. He lives up in Lake Vermilion. He's a great writer and writes about the French voyageurs and the Lake Vermilion and up Grand Marais and all that. And I did those books, and I'm very pleased that somebody who is blind can listen to those. And that's the most important thing I've ever done in this business.
Do they have a website that we can share?
I think they do, but I couldn't give it to you right offhand. But it's in Faribault. It's the Blind and Braille Academy there. They do marvelous work, and I was very pleased to do those as a volunteer.
Off-air, give me the website, and we'll post that onto the TC Media Now page and the Facebook page.
Yeah, well, I'd appreciate that. And one other thing, I did another tour in the Navy, too, just to give you a little update. I got recalled. I took a voluntary recall during the Berlin crisis, so I was gone again. But I did some work on American Forces Radio and Television. And I ran across a book called Brass Button Broadcasters, which is out. And I'm in this thing, and it's got all these Hollywood people and the people that worked in the entertainment
right.
business
mm-hmm.
on American Forces Radio and Television. Lo and behold, there's a picture of me doing a weather show from a Quonset hut in Keflavik, Iceland. And I had no idea that picture was there. And I'm very pleased that it
That's
is
great.
There. Yeah, that was... American Forces Television, radio.
So, what are you up to these days? What's a typical week for you?
Well, I just returned from doing some hurricane disaster recovery work with FEMA. I've been with FEMA for 6 years. I've done 10 deployments throughout the country as a public information officer and a writer. However, I've come to the end of that because I can't do the work anymore.
The
hours are 14, 15 hours a day, 30 days a week, a month. And it takes a lot out of you. There are a lot of good people in FEMA. They are working very, very hard. And I was a part of it, and I was glad to be there. And then I also do I also did some podcasting work for them and some public service announcements.
Right.
And then I audition with the Wayman Agency. Calls me up once in a while when they need an old guy. And I go out and I just had an interview with Minnesota mining deal, but I didn't get it.
You're not old, but you can play one on TV.
Yes. Well, yes, I'd be very good at that.
You did a lot of commercials too, and I want to play just a couple of these commercials because there's some good stuff. You talk about the archive. There's some companies that are no longer in existence because they stopped using you and they stopped using your commercials. And I only can assume that's why they went down. So let's listen to a couple of those.
It's not easy to keep a good credit rating these days.
No,
and if credit's a problem
was.
For you, then listen to this. At Curtis Mathis of Coon Rapids, we handle our own financing. That means you don't have to qualify through a bank or some finance company to buy a Curtis Mathis TV, video cassette recorder, or home entertainment center. Check it out with this Curtis Mathis of Coon Rapids special. This week only, buy a portable color TV with a 4-year warranty for only $4.99. Credit is no problem at Curtis Mathis of Coon Rapids. Call 755-7980. You don't need a computer to figure out where to shop for your back-to-school shoes. Conco Shoes has the Nike Journey, sale priced for just $7.99. Plus Cherokee and Child Life leather shoes at only $9.99. And Sperry by Stride Rite leather penny loafers for just $16.99. But if you want a computer,
I bought one.
Conco's giving away 8 Apple IIc personal computers free, courtesy of Personal Business Systems. So come on in and register. And remember, Conco does not sell cheap shoes. Conco sells good shoes cheap.
And real quick, I want to talk about you did Best Buy ads before anyone else did Best Buy ads.
Yes, I was called in to Dick Schultz, had the Sound of Music store that got ruined by a tornado. Channel 9 and Dick got together, and they decided to have me help them sell some stuff out at the fairgrounds on a Tornado Madness sale. And we did live television, and we sold them out. And Dick looked at that, and he said, boy, he said, I better start doing this. And he changed the name to Best Buy Company, and I opened all of his stores here locally with live 2-minute television commercials, all of them ad-lib, and they were based pretty much on my admiration for Steve Allen, one of the great showmen of all time and a very talented guy.
Let's listen to one.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the place to be if you want to save money tonight. And I'm Ernie Martz, and we're live at the Best Buy Company's Northtown Superstore in beautiful downtown Blaine. Our other stores are closed for the evening, but we'll be open here at Northtown until 9 o'clock tonight, just off University Avenue North. With our live TV crew, we'll be here with Channel 9 giving free popcorn and balloons for the kids. Glenn, come on over here. Could you tell us about what's going on here?
Now, Ernie, the Best Buy Company's having a giant warehouse sale at all 9 stores. Our warehouse was overstocked. So they shipped all the gear to the stores. Come here, I'll show you about it. Okay?
All right, let's go over here.
Sets over here.
All right.
Okay, Maxell, PDXL 2 C90s.
All right.
Over here, just $179 each. Limited 10 of them, though.
All right.
TDK, T120 tapes, videotapes, just $479 each after rebate when you buy a 3-pack. Sorry, limit 6 tapes per customer, though.
I'm coming down now. I'm going to. Solid gold's on, but I'm going to turn it off and go on down to Best Buy.
Free popcorn, you know, you can't go wrong.
Ernie. Thank you for coming in today. It's again, as a Generation Xer and someone who grew up listening to you, it's been great to be able to know you and listen to your voice in a non-commercial, non-voiceover setting, and hopefully we'll have you back here soon.
It was my pleasure to be here, and I want to thank the folks out there who might remember some of the things I've done over the years. You've been with me. You've known my ups and downs, and I love you all, and Minnesota's a great state, and I appreciate the fact that you watched or listened every once in a while. It's been great.
Voice of Ernie is on tcmedianow.com. We're going for a quick break with Flashback Twin Cities. This is Tom Osmond on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond for our next segment here. Again, thank you to Ernie Martz for coming in today and letting us listen to some of his great voiceovers from his career. We talked last week about Christmas specials, and we all know the Frosty, the Rudolphs, the ones that are aired every year. They make us feel good. They're very sugary. They're very sweet. Every sitcom, every drama, at least in the last couple of decades, also did a Christmas special or a Christmas show every year. One of the main characters might find the true meaning of Christmas or might discover that their best friend actually does not have a Christmas and they're going to bring a tree over, or some horrible thing happens that all gets resolved within a half hour. You know, All in the Family, which was the number one sitcom for many years in the 1970s and probably one of the most groundbreaking shows in history, always took Christmas and always took these episodes a little bit deeper and always a little bit more controversial than your standard sitcom fare. One memorable episode, which aired in 1976, was called The Draft Dodger. And just to set up a little bit of the premise, let's hear a little bit of how this show started.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Honey, this is a friend of mine, David Brewster. Remember I told you about him?
Oh, yeah, David.
Hi, nice to meet you, Gloria.
Nice to meet you. I thought you were supposed to stay in Canada.
This week, I'm your friendly fugitive from justice.
Hey, now, come on, don't talk like that.
Yeah. Well, put on a happy face. It's Christmas Eve and you're among friends. Thanks. There's no problem here.
Oh, God, I hate starching my shirts.
Except one.
David, have you met my father yet?
No, not yet.
You're in for a big treat. Conservatively speaking, if you know what I mean.
Look, maybe I better clear out of here.
So Mike's friend David comes to Christmas dinner, a draft dodger, which obviously is going to bring some big problems for Archie Bunker, a very, very right-wing Richard Nixon supporter. And with me on the line, we have Rennie Temple, who played David the draft dodger in that episode from 1976. Good morning, Rennie.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being on this morning. I know it's a early morning out in L.A.
Yeah, I'll get you for this, Tom.
I deserve it. Rennie, tell me about being cast as David and how you were selected.
Actually, it was a lot different than any show. Nobody's ever asked me that question. I was brought in, and I'm sure as others were, and we went, instead of being in a casting room or in a conference room, I was led right to Paul Bogart, the director, who actually won an Emmy for this episode as director. And I just sat literally in a very small office, literally just across the desk from him, and he read the other parts that you just heard, Archie and Meathead, read the other parts, and I just sat in a chair right across the table from his desk, And he just looked at me when we finished, and he said, just a minute. And he called Al and, I forgot the other producer's name, Al Burton and, I can't think of it, from down the hall, said, come on in. And they just stuck their heads in the door, and he said, I think we've got our draft dodger. Is that okay? And they went, yeah, sure. And that was it.
What did you think of the script? When you read the script, what did you think of the script? I mean, was it a topic that intrigued you?
I love the script. Originally, he was actually not a draft dodger, but a draft deserter. He was actually in the Army, David Brewster, my character, and had, you know, left the Army and had snuck across the border. And after a couple of meetings or so, and of course with the network, they decided that a guy who had gone AWOL was actually a criminal. As opposed to a deserter who just kind of, I'm not a deserter. A guy who went AWOL is a deserter. Somebody who was a draft protester and went up to Canada actually was less of a of an enemy. And they didn't like the idea of having a guy who was AWOL being the hero of the show. I thought the script was great. One of the most interesting things of the show is when we were in rehearsal, the Monday through Friday process, after the table read, and every day after that, the table read is when you all sit around the table and, you know, read the script for the first time. For that day, Monday and Tuesday, Rob Reiner and Carol O'Connor would go over to a corner, and they would tweak the script, and to make sure that Archie Bunker, the character, did not get the laughs in the wrong place.
Right.
Because the live audience watching were mostly conservative.
Oh, lost Rennie.
Sorry about that. That's kind of weird.
Okay. Well,
the trouble was they thought Archie was right. So they wanted to make sure, Carol and Rob, that the laughs were kind of at the expense of Archie, not because Archie was correct.
Exactly.
So they were very careful about that.
And it's tough because you do have an audience, an American audience, where this, again, as in most parts of history, it's a very divided audience, and you can't dismiss half your audience. And what's interesting, I thought about this topic was, and I've seen more TV than any human being should, that in this era, you know, Vietnam was not discussed while the war was going on. No sitcom or no drama even covered it. You didn't think it existed, hardly at all. And even at this point, you know,
that happens right up to this day too. By the way,
right?
Go ahead.
And the war being not even a year and a half over with, it still wasn't something that was talked about. And now it's in a Christmas episode of all times to bring it up at Christmas time. And here you are at the Bunker's house for dinner, and because it's Saturday morning radio, I can't play the tirade Archie goes into, but I've seen every episode of the show, and I think that your character made Archie more angry than I think Rob Reiner Meathead did in 10 years.
It was a weird feeling. That was my first television show. I had done lots of TV commercials before that and lots of theater, but this was the first time I was on my first television show, and it was All in the Family, which was terrifying enough right there. But I got to tell you, Tom, when I was sitting at that Christmas table and Archie Bunker looks across the table at me when he finds out that I'm a draft dodger from the U.S. of A., and he looks at you, the actor Carol O'Connor and the character Archie Bunker, with hate in his eyes, you really just wanted to die.
Let's listen to that.
You could feel it.
I got a clip here I'm going to play.
Together, you know?
So long ago. I thought you said you were from Canada.
No, sir. I said I was living in Canada.
Oh, you're living up there. Hey, whatever brought you up to Canada, anyhow?
What's wrong with living in Canada?
What's wrong with me asking him a question without getting an answer from one of you?
Don't like you giving
Mike, please. It's like what Mike said, Mr. Bunker. I'm just an American who prefers living in Canada.
Okay, see, I got an answer from him. Fine, prefers living in Canada. The next question is, what the hell you got in Canada you ain't got here? Pass the yaps, huh?
Oh, here, Daddy.
Huh? What's the answer?
Freedom.
Did you say freedom?
Yes, sir. Freedom.
Oh, come on, will you? You got more freedom in the U.S. of A. than you got any place else in the world. This is the land of the free. Did you never hear of that?
Mr. Bunker, for some of us, America is not free.
Well, I think it's pretty free for everybody in this room and around this here.
And there you are. I don't have the point where...
The moment right after that is when I tell him I'm a draft dodger. And boy, when Carol O'Connor looks at you as Archie Bunker, you feel it to the bottom of your feet.
I mean, when you're in that room and you're in that set, was he in character at all times? I mean, did he? Because his voice in real life is not the Archie Bunker voice, and he was
no, not at all.
And when he gets up and Mike tells him the war is wrong, and Archie gets up and starts screaming, you were right there. Now, you must have felt something, at least the ground shaking, when he started doing that dialogue.
Archie, Carol O'Connor was an incredible actor. I mean, he was just amazing. When the two of them were yelling across me, and I'm standing in the middle, it's just that Carol O'Connor grabbed that character so strongly that you couldn't separate it when you were on the set and you were doing it. Off set, he was fine. I mean, he didn't have to get into character. You have to understand that these people live these parts 5 days a week for 9 years. So he doesn't have to really prepare too much to get into Archie Bunker. He knows who that guy is as well as Edith Bunker. Knows who she is. I mean, they're really, they were very, very amazing, and it was quite an experience, especially for a first television show.
Did you think that the show, this particular show, was going to become an Emmy-winning show, and also so iconic, because every Christmas, this does get, at least when this was aired locally, even on TV Land, this one gets played every holiday?
According to Paul Bogart, and also to Norman Lear, who I still talk to occasionally today, this show got more mail written in crayons that's the way Norman put it, than any other episode they ever did. I mean, people went crazy when this thing aired. I was just trying to get through the week alive.
That's great. Renny, I wish we had more time to talk about this because this is a great episode. You also were in one of my other favorite shows, Soap, as the social worker for Jody Dallas, and someday we'll have to talk about that too.
That's fine. Anytime. Give me a half hour. I'll tell you all sorts of stories.
We will do it. Renny Temple, actor from All in the Family in the Draft Dodger episode. You can find it on YouTube or on Amazon.com. This is Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osman on KLBB Radio Club 1220.